This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us. This is On The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. Let's talk about Penang, which is obviously celebrating today for two very auspicious reasons. First of all, it is Georgetown Heritage Day. I think 13 years ago, Melaka and ourselves, the state of Penang, very proudly received the UNESCO World Heritage status. And the second reason is because today is when it graduates to phase two of the National Recovery Plan.
That's right. It's one of six other states that have moved into the phase. This includes Kelantan, Terengganu, Pahang, Perak and Perlis. And according to Security Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, among the three thresholds that Penang has achieved includes an average number of daily cases of 9.5 out of 100,000 people for 7 days. So they've managed to maintain a very low rate of infection for a week, which is a good thing. Under this phase, more economic and social activities will also be allowed, such as hairdressers and barbers, as well as individual sports. So I think it's a much-needed relief for a lot of people who are in MCO at the moment.
And of course, the burning question is how this affects the business and investment landscape for Penang. So for more on this, we've got on the line with us now Dato' Sri Lee Ka Chun, the Director of Invest Penang. He's also the Special Investment Advisor to the Chief Minister of Penang. Dato' Sri, good morning. How critical is this transformation from Phase 1 to Phase 2 for Penang? Is this a sigh of relief for businesses?
Well, that is the first phase that we are moving on. At least it's the beginning. We would like to go to the phase four as soon as possible. But it definitely helped because phase one is the worst because it's the lockdown. Activities are kept to the minimum. So we just have to move on.
How much discussion has there been between the federal and state Penang government with regards to this national recovery plan and the different phases and the kinds of criteria that needs to be fulfilled before a state can go to the next phase?
The discussion has been continuous and there are different type of multifaceted forum. For example, we have the CITF, there is the COVID-19 Immunization Task Force that is coordinating the vaccination. Then, of course, you have the National Security Council, where the state is also part of the membership. So the discussion is ongoing all the time.
And as we know, it's only phase two, and there are still nonetheless many restrictions placed, which, of course, impact businesses and livelihoods. So I'm just curious, what is Penang State doing to help?
Well, first of all, we study the packages that has been rolled out by the federal government, and then the state will supplement whatever gaps that we find that is not provided by the federal packages. Bearing in mind that the state, although it is a developed state, but in terms of income, in terms of revenue, Penang is relatively poor because we don't have natural resources compared with some other states like Selangor, where you have plenty of land and at the same time natural resources like timber and mining, for example. So we have to be careful with our money.
But if I'm not wrong, Penang is also the state which has a surplus, right? So have you been using any of the surplus to kind of subsidize some of the families that need help, for example?
Definitely so, because I think for this year and for the next year budget, most probably the state will be running a deficit budget. So and it is the same with many of the state agencies. So everyone is coming out to help in whatever way that is within their means.
Now, Dr. Penang is also home to many MNCs. Has the lockdown, or how to the extent has the lockdown impacted the critical supply chain that these companies play?
Everyone is affected. So it is not only within Penang, within Malaysia, but also globally. Yes, I mean, we can work, for example, if let's say the factory can work in Penang, but not necessarily you will be able to get the components from overseas. Similarly, it is the other way as well. That is on the product and components. But in terms of a movement of technician and engineers within Malaysia is also a challenge. But of course, the more challenging one will be international, because when we sell our product to someone else, we need to service them. So if there is a border lockdown, then of course it will impact our business. Similarly, when investment come into Malaysia and into Penang, They need to install equipments, machineries in their factories. So they need technical people to come in as well. So the lockdown has actually affected the industry to a certain extent.
Yeah, I know it's been tough as well, but have there been any opportunities within this period? For example, there's a global chip shortage, and of course, Penang is part of that ecosystem. Have there been any opportunities, any bright lightnings to this disaster?
Every crisis has its opportunities. With the disruption in the supply chain, actually, it opens up many, many opportunities for Malaysia as well. Because many of these supply chain, former supply chain, we didn't have a chance to actually tap into this global supply chain. But with this disruption, actually, it opens up many, many opportunities for our supplier to tap into this disrupted supply chain. For example, we have been running many, many supplier days for this MNC because their supply chain has been disrupted. So we are helping them to tap into the local supply chain so that our SMEs as well as the local company will be able to supply to them.
So, Dato' Sri, I want to ask, right, as Director of Invest Penang, and in your discussions with many of the companies that are based there, what are currently the pain points that they are facing?
I think the pain point, of course, is a pandemic, but the pandemic is a universal. It's not only in Malaysia, but it's also globally. But the pain point for the individual companies in Malaysia is that you have to compare with other countries, right? Things that are actually not similar. So one of the things that they are facing is actually the ease of doing business. Ease of doing business is not about incentive, that is for attracting them to come here, et cetera, et cetera. But ease of doing business is how to help rather than staying at a high horse and then tell people that this is a rule, then you follow it. But it is about helping people, helping the businesses, helping people to move on with their business as well as with their life.
So, Dato' Sri, could I get your views on the short-term assistance? Does the Pemulih Aid Package sufficiently address the needs of businesses impacted by COVID-19?
I think at the moment, the situation is that nothing is enough. We can do more. For example, if you look at the announcement, the 150 billion and all those, we are looking at actually to some extent is a cash, direct cash injection. That is actually the most important aspect of assistance. For example, we find and the industry find actually wage subsidies is one of those area that is helpful. The reason is very simple, because the employers are suffering. So the first reaction is that they would like to actually retrench workers. But as a country, we cannot allow this to happen because once you retrench your workers, the next thing is that you close down the business. The next thing is that people will lose their job, they will lose their livelihood. So once that happens, it will not only jeopardize lives as it is now, but it will also jeopardize long-term recovery. When the COVID is over or settled down or stabilized, how are you going to start the economy? Because it is not going to be easy. So this wage subsidy is in a small way to keep people employed and at the same time to keep employer afloat.
What else would you like to see, Dato' Sri? What else is a priority other than wage subsidy program?
I think the businesses, we have to look at the businesses to see that how can we stretch the dollar in order to maintain them so that they would be able to be part of the recovery plan. The recovery is not about now, but now we have to maintain that. The recovery will come later after maybe 1 year or 2 years, so that the businesses are still there. Because we are talking about the supply chain. So once we break that supply chain, the recovery will be very difficult, if possible at all. So for us, it's, you have to look at how I think the majority of Malaysia's society in terms of businesses is the SME. So what we need to do is that we have to look into ways in order to help them. And of course, cash is the most important thing. For example, the moratorium will definitely help. The banks have to come in, the country have to come in order to sustain the businesses.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Dato' Sri Lee Ka Chun, Director of Invest Penang. Now, of course, there's much more that can be done, but there is a limited headroom to do so. Today, of course, is the loan moratorium commencement. I think for everybody, it's an automatic approval.
Yeah, if you apply.
If you apply.
It's an opt-in system, correct. So you have to write into your bank or contact your bank today. And it's also a question we're asking this morning on Twitter. Applications for loan moratorium start today. Will you be applying for it despite having to pay more at the end? And actually, 50% of our respondents say no. I don't know whether it's because they still have their jobs, they feel comfortable about the environment.
The listenership of BFM.
Or maybe in the first place, they have already done so. Because prior to this, banks have been quite obliging. If you write in and explain your circumstances, they try. But I think coming back to Penang, the challenge, of course, is can they achieve that 5 billion investment target that they have for this year?
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.